Welcome, everybody, to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. We're pleased that you joined us, and we have a full house here. I have Ann with me, not sitting next to me, but here at Grace Ranch. Good evening, Ann.
Hi, Robin. Hi, everyone. Welcome.
And in lovely Vermont, in the sense of its physical beauty, are Megan and Karen. Good evening, ladies.
Hello, everyone.
Good evening, and welcome, everybody.
So, tonight we're going to move into Romans 6. And, of course, in Romans 5, Paul went through the scenario about Adam bringing sin into the world and Jesus taking it out. And that taking it out is available to all who will believe the gospel. That becomes true for them. It's available, but of no use outside of us choosing to take him at his word of the sufficiency of that sacrifice. And Paul also spoke about the law, the purpose of the law. And now from there, and that law, you figure, up until Moses, there was no law given, but Adam had one law, so to speak, one commandment to keep, and Adam broke one commandment, and by that disobedience, sin entered into the world. Unless you think that's not just, realize that we would have all broken commandments, so God in his justness and love set it up so that by one man sin came in. Therefore, by one man, it could be taken out or off. And God's plan understood what he was dealing with, made a perfect provision, and now it's in our hands whether we're going to join with it through faith.
Amen.
An example, Robin, of what Robin?
Yes, go ahead, Megan.
Okay. An example of what you're saying there about we would have done the same is the Lord has given us two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we don't do that one. Or how about love your neighbor as yourself? And we don't do that one. So, you know, we can't be in any way thinking that we would have done what differently than Adam when we have those two and we don't do those.
Yes. We do have a sinful flesh, which Adam did not until he sinned.
That is true.
But nevertheless, you're absolutely right. You know, we can't even do. Let's just take the first one, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. We stray from that, let alone straying from the commandment to love our neighbor in the exact same way we love ourselves. And that's that love there, just to make sure people know, is God calls us to love our soul, not our flesh, our soul. And we're to love the other person's soul. And so their flesh cannot interfere when we understand what we're loving. We all have a flesh and it's all not right, so it's all going to be annoying at times to one another, but that's not what we're loving. We're loving the person's soul, and that unto salvation. So, Megan, I was going to have you start tonight something new and different, and sure. If you would read at least through 3, I may have you read a little further, but the first 3 verses of chapter 6.
What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?
Go ahead and read through 5.
Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection.
You're going to have to read 6 because that's the period. I apologize.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin.
Okay. So, he's given us this scenario about sin and the law, and the verse 21 of 5 says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace, and that's that unmerited favor, that's that that makes up the difference between God's righteousness, and even we in him need that grace to make up the difference. We are not on equal standing with God. So might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Grace isn't there so that we can just do whatever we want because we're saved by grace. We are saved by grace and are needful of that grace because that is that extension and that work of that blood that is allows us to stand in a place of righteousness, therefore acceptability to God, being clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But it also is there so that notwithstanding how many times we fall, how many times we hear and don't do, like Megan, you said, the two commandments he gave us, the only two commandments, to love him and to love others. And we fall short of this all the time, but that grace allows us to stand up again and press on to do it. The grace is there for both things. It makes up the difference because we fall short, but it's also that ongoing opportunity to press on through obedience and desire of serving the Lord as he would have us serve him, so that our mistakes don't in any way hang us up or stop us or are held against us. So Anne or anybody, before we move to 2, did you want to add or clarify?
Well, I know you were saying that, you know, the grace there, that doesn't mean we won't sin, unfortunately. But it reminds me of the once saved, always saved doctrine that goes around. And once you save Jesus, it doesn't matter what you do. You can sin freely and his grace will cover you. And that's not what this is saying. You know, we fall into sin, and like I said, unfortunately, we all do. But we know we can go to Jesus as our advocate and receive forgiveness. And then we strive not to do that again. Where, like that one doctrine, the once saved, always saved, they never go back to Jesus for forgiveness. They just think anything they do after that is fine because they're saved by grace. And yes, we are saved by grace.
It's an opportunity, an opportunity to grow it.
What'd you say?
It's an opportunity, the grace is. It's not to be used, it's to be taken hold of and stand in the sun. And also, it's our hope, because if we are honest enough looking at ourselves, and this will be to the end, we know that we fall short. We are never going to not fall short by witness. But we had the opportunity by that blood, grace being that extension, so to speak of it, to learn obedience to Christ.
Amen.
As Christ. I will say this, though. If you remember, Paul had prayed 3 times, I believe, that sin be removed. He would overcome and not be beset by a sin. And God said, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And I know I used to wish I wasn't, I mean, I'm me. me hasn't departed, and I have things to learn, and I am not, I haven't learned them perfectly. I have still, praise God, the grace to keep doing what is needful so that I can get that under my belt. But, you know, the gospel is preached by us availing ourselves first and standing in it and it alone to others. And if we were only righteous continuously, it would give little hope to a person that knows, that is in the despair of the fact that they have no power against the sin that so easily besets them. We are beset by sin, even in Christ, even with the Holy Spirit. How much more somebody that doesn't know Him? And the fact that we stand by, in a right standing solely by what He does, and out of that serve God faithfully. And the thing, and I'm going to speak for myself, the thing that I find difficult, I can believe that God accepts me because of that blood. No matter what I do in a given day, no matter what a idiotic, slow-to-learn type of person I can see myself as. But to then stand in that place, notwithstanding how I view myself, now that's, you know, that's that part of the digestion of the gospel that is to me. I can know it and sit quietly in that, but it is that stand that is there solely because of Him, and all that I'm not doesn't in any way undermine it, and I gotta just not care that everybody in the world could look at me and say, you don't deserve it, look at you. I can say the same flippant thing, but it isn't about that. He has given it to me. I need to stand in it because He has given it to me. And in that place of actual humility, it takes humbleness to do that. Other people, you know, the humble shall hear and be glad. And it comes because I'm not perfect. You can find fault with me. I don't hear perfectly. I have a lot to learn. It is evident to me. But see, my acceptance and my place and my stand and my ministry is based in Him, not in me. And it's there. And it's for me to do, notwithstanding any of the other stuff that I might be wrestling down. And I can find that pretty uncomfortable, personally. That's the end of that story. I didn't mean to ramble, but you got to digest the gospel first. And then you're not an attack force and a person of judgment and condemnation. You're a person of entreaty to others, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Certainly makes sense to me. It sounds very familiar to me.
But we just have to stand in it, notwithstanding our feelings about ourselves. That's that separation of the flesh and the spirit that sometimes seems easy and other times seems overwhelming. But should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. And then he goes into, we're supposed to be dead to sin. Now the sin is in our flesh. It ain't dead. But we with our mind choose to be dead to it. See, and that's kind of what I was speaking about, because in my mind sometimes I'm alive to the sin in my flesh. I don't necessarily do it, but when I give it any place, you see, I'm not dead to it. I can't be ruled or give it any credence in my life. The only thing to rule me and the only thing I believe is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the thing. It doesn't matter me. It matters Him and what He did. in that place, I can become strong and of a good courage. I can learn obedience. I can learn to hear. I can learn to take heed. I can learn all of these things. And it's in a right place because it's based in Him. And I'm messing up my computer here, okay? And then he goes into when we talk about being dead to sin, to our flesh, where sin dwells and is alive and well, he goes into then baptism. The baptism of water that we partake of, the baptism of blood is the baptism of repentance. Unlike John the Baptist's baptism, our baptism isn't of repentance, but it's where we die to ourselves and by faith believe, because he said it, that we are then translated, our soul and spirit, into his body in the throne room of God where we now dwell. So we die, even as Jesus did on the cross, to ourself and all of its garbage, lies, iniquity or pride and all of that evil. And now we choose by faith to live in that new place that was purchased for us and that baptism represents. So it goes on. We're buried with him by baptism. That's that baptism of water where we go completely under, into death. But then when we rise up, just as Christ was risen from the dead, we by faith believe and therefore stand in that new place. And we then walk in that newness of life, not the life of our flesh, but the newness of life in Christ Jesus, which is free of our flesh. So he went on. So if we have been then planted in the same manner as Christ died, we have died together in the likeness of his death. We don't have to go through what he went through, but by faith we make that choice to be dead unto ourselves. Then we also believe that in the likeness of his resurrection, we also are raised and dwell in a different place. Even though we're housed in this mortal flesh, that we don't visibly see it, but by faith that's where we stand. Knowing then that our old man, our flesh, is crucified with him, so that that body of sin might be destroyed, we don't serve it anymore. It's still there. It still wants us to serve it, but we learn to get out of agreement with it. And then we also have to replace it by learning to be in agreement with God. And that's called obedience and submission.
Yeah, you're going to serve one or the other. Not both, but you will serve one or the other.
Amen. So what do we do when we find we're serving the wrong one?
Repent and get up and walk.
Right. That's the thing. And that's the gospel. You know, what does it say in James? It's the trying of our faith. Faith in what? Ourselves? Faith in God? Yes, but it's faith in the sufficiency of the gospel. Our faith in God is really that choice of believing what he says is true. Doesn't matter what we think, what we feel, how it would affect our flesh, what our fears might be about it, or whatever the scenario may be for you. But it's that we just actually come into agreement. He said it. I believe it. That settles it.
The only thing that matters in this world is, do you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And everything else, everything you do, etc., is how you show whether you believe him or whether you don't.
Well put. And one of the beautiful things about that is when you see what your actions show, instead of getting down in the mouth about it, you can change and say, okay, I say it, I'm not proving it, and set out to do it again. And what did Davy say? Do your best and your best will get better. like exercising your spiritual muscles. We fall, but if we keep turning from that fall and choose not to fall again that way, we can begin to get strong and not doing that, but rather that which the Lord calls us to do. We all have habits. It takes a while for them to die, but and it's something we have to keep putting off until we got it gone. But as verse 7 says, for he that is dead is freed from sin. You see, we're not under the law anymore. The law kills us. We're under grace. So we are truly free from sin, even though we find ourselves sinning. It has no more dominion over us. If by the gospel of Jesus Christ, we put it off and press on again. And Anne has rejoined us. She took a little trip down. We're getting this one down, yeah. Kind of. We're pretending.
Yeah, my internet kept really messing up and disconnecting me. I couldn't hear people, so here I am.
So we're going to move, and Karen's going to read on to... I just lost it. What was that? Karen's going to read starting with verse 8.
Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God.
So, if we be dead with Christ, so if we have gone through that process that we just read about, where we come into agreement, we choose to believe what that baptism represents, and now stand in that newness of life, even though in our flesh sin dwelleth. So that's the death that we have partaken of. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we now also have to do the other part. We believe that we shall also live with him. And right now, that is something in the here and now. It is also the hope of eternal life.
Amen. Yes.
And that shall speaks of that, but it's a stand that we are in by faith even now.
Yes.
While we're in this flesh. And there you see it. Death hath no more dominion over him. Christ died once, and though he wouldn't have, he had no sin, although had he not died on that cross, he would have had sin.
Because he would have been disobedient to the Father.
That's it. Mm-hmm. He had to die, but the sin he took to the grave was not his own. It was ours. But then he was resurrected. And it doesn't have to be done again. Death has been broken to all those that believe that second death. And for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. And that's the call we have. And that's the place and the position and what God has provided for us to do.
That's right.
Anything else, Miss Ann?
No.
Megan or Karen, you covered it. So, Karen, if you'd continue on a little...
For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay, stop there. I shall put out a question. How do we do verse 11? How do we reckon ourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus? Now, when I asked that, Megan said earlier, Ann, and you missed it, that you can say, Megan, would you repeat about how, what you said, and if you can?
Do you mean the thing about the question being, the only important thing being, do you believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ?
That's yes. What?
And everything else that you do or say proves whether you do or don't believe him.
What does that look like on us if we actually do believe? How does it look?
One example will be that you are, as a wife, a submissive wife to your husband, as an employer recognizing that you too have a master, and so you are a master to your servants as you want the Lord to be to you. As an employee, you know, recognizing that you being in submission to your employer, etc. Those are some of the examples that jump to my mind.
And they're good examples. Karen, did you have anything you wanted to throw in?
Being about other people's business before your own and not being selfish. Loving other people as the Lord would have you love them. Like, you know, do things. Be aware of the surroundings around you and react in the way that to be helpful to other people.
Miss Ann?
No, my mind's fine.
Miss Ann is where if I look through one ear, I'd look out the other. No, kidding,
yeah, that's
kidding.
True.
You know, I agree with what you both said. When I look at this verse, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord, I think one of the real telling ways you can see where a person is at in this, or if they have any understanding of what this verse is how we hear. For instance, Megan spoke about a wife submitting to her husband or an employee to his employer. How often do we hear with rebellion and disagreement and judgment in our heart versus submission and the choice that that which is being asked of us is in fact right? And when Karen talks of putting another first, one of the ways in which that shows itself is when we extend grace and mercy to another, which cuts out judgment, cuts out all sorts of things. Now, there's a place to speak. There's a place to be quiet. We got a lot to learn in our service to God, how to rightly serve one another, rightly serve Him, and therefore rightly serving one another. But, you know, the little things and where our heart's at and our reactions is a picture of whether we actually are dead unto ourselves and have submitted and come into agreement with what God has called us to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And I would suspect that every one of us has work to do on this regard. I can't speak for anyone else. I know I do.
Yeah, we all do, I think. I know me.
But we need to work on it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's how I would explain that verse.
It also sort of talks to what Steve spoke about this week or last week. So in some ways, what he spoke about both Sundays were similar, in that the things that are asked of you, you do with joy. And that's, you know, not necessarily your first response when someone asks you to do something, but to choose to do it with joy and thanksgiving at the ability to do so and the opportunity is a is also one of those sort of evidences that you're talking about.
And that's a perfect example, Megan, because the one thing that can, I know it took me a long time to understand, so sometimes I need a reminder. But that is just because your first reaction is such and such doesn't mean you have to come into agreement with it. That's where you make
Absolutely.
That decision.
Yeah.
A lot of times the first reaction is based on the flesh.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Faith and belief come in when we realize we don't have to be in agreement with it.
That's right.
And then we can do, as Megan said, with joy. But at that point, it's now by faith, because God has set up his order. And that faith and that joy comes because we believe him. And therefore, we don't judge that which is asked of us. Everything is then good and right. Right? I mean, how could it be otherwise?
The thing is, it comes down to a decision.
That's
Are we going to believe Jesus Christ and follow him, or are we going to believe our flesh?
Right, if that's right, Ann. I was going to say that, you know, when you get told something and your flesh reacts, that's the very first thing, and then your decision comes in. Am I going to agree with that, or am I going to not agree with that? And you make that decision, and when you make the right decision, it brings joy, because you don't care about whatever it is that's going on. You're doing what the right thing is that the Lord wants you to do, and it's joyful in serving him and being obedient.
There is a fruit to it that if it isn't joyful the first time, it'll bear fruit that will bring that joy. But I'll give you a thing that's kind of when I see myself doing this, and I'm not a great judge of myself, but I know I stop and I'm like cringe answering back. Answering back is alive unto yourself and dead unto Christ oftentimes. And I can find that I do it. Now, there doesn't mean that there isn't a discourse that can be had. Do not get me wrong. But answering back in the sense I'm saying it is where you stand in a place of disagreement and give your disagreement and think you're right. It's different than saying, you know, accepting that which has been spoken to you and then throwing in or saying things that...
I'm not sure I understand.
Not sure I understand or what about this? Mm-hmm. But it's not done in contention. It's just because you have honest questions. There's a big difference. And sometimes I'm not sure where I am in that. But when I answer back, I always kind of cringe wondering and think about it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I do. I am not right in that.
But you know, because we are in this flesh, our first reaction usually is a cringe or a disagreement. And unfortunately, that's the way it is. But we have to make a decision to not listen to the flesh.
You know, one of the fruits of that decision that will be manifest is you never have to justify yourself or get anyone to agree with you in any way that you are right or were right.
You don't have to defend yourself.
And you won't find that you go talk with people and bring up things in this kind of regard because it's been settled in you. Now, if you go to talk to someone, it would be the person to whom you're under their authority, or maybe a discipler or somebody.
You don't go around asking everybody to agree with you against
that's right.
your authority.
Or justifying you in your...
Right. Rebellion, really.
That's right. And that's the proof of whether you, regardless of your first reaction, whether you have chosen him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a proof.
Yeah.
And these things aren't there to beat us down. If we want, what Megan said, to serve the Lord, then these are things to show us where we have to wrestle some things down and get it right. That's what they're there for. If we will understand them as such, then we have that gospel that gives us that opportunity. We're not bound by what we did 5 minutes ago.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
No, well, that's the truth. But we have to get out of agreement and with the pride and iniquity that is our flesh. And it's a humble thing because it just plain and simple doesn't speak well of us as we think of ourselves. So if, Megan, if you would pick up, I believe, on verse 12.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God.
Okay. So, before we knew Christ, you figure sin did reign in our mortal body. It was the ruler. Reign is a testimony of lordship or rulership.
Yeah.
And now we're not to obey the lust thereof. Therefore, its reign in us or of us has been broken. Or can, but that's what the gospel does. It breaks it. So, and then neither yield your members as instruments. Now, this is where, really, it's that you don't yield your soul and spirit. You don't join with it. Your flesh is your flesh is your flesh, and its testimony is damnable. I don't know what else to put it.
No, there's no other way to put it, really.
But this is where we choose with our mind not to serve it, which is that justification that I'm right and, well, he's wrong or whatever it is, however we justify, but rather no longer letting that be what rules us. We now yield ourselves under Christ. And that yielding is really, part of that is that learning his ways.
Yeah.
And as we will, we will learn them as we yield to him. And the fruit of that is peaceful, the peaceful fruit of righteousness.
When we make mistakes, we learn from them, those mistakes, and we should.
Yeah.
And what you said earlier about the flesh is damnable. Yes, our flesh is going to take us straight to hell if we listen to it. And that's being damned.
Yeah. And our flesh doesn't go to hell. It just goes back into the dirt. It becomes dust. But we have a choice of whether it agreeing with it will take our soul to hell.
Yeah, amen.
God says, agree to me. Yield. What does it say there? But yield yourselves unto God. See, this is what we're learning to do. We don't start out knowing how. And we fumble and fall. But if we'll see it as when we fall, we can see where we're at. I always like to put it, you go in and take a test. You're in high school. You take a test. You get an 80. Or let's say you get a 70. Or maybe you flunk it. Who cares? Take your pick.
Yeah, taking
but
a test.
If you look at it instead of a judgment and a big X on you, but as, okay, I got this down. I've learned this, but I haven't learned this. And now you know what you got to learn.
That's right.
It's really like that. We can see what we don't yet know or what we haven't yet done or we haven't put off. And so now we can put it off. Now we can learn it.
And I do like what Angie said here. It's an awesome grace and love of God to allow us the opportunity to train our souls to be alive unto him so we can stay with him when we go meet him. That is so awesome. It is a perfect plan.
Amen, it is.
You know, and that's what we're training our souls.
Right. Megan?
Back to verse 12. Keeping in mind that, you know, you're going to serve either God or your flesh. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. In other words, you know, you choose the Lord. That he should obey it in the lust thereof. I just want you to point that out because lust is going to still come at you. Something you see that you think, oh, I'd like that. Or that, you know, makes you feel something that, oh, I'd like that. Or whatever. They're still going to come at you, but you don't have to obey them. You don't have to yield yourself to them. You choose instead, as, you know, there was talk a little earlier, that first thought, then is your decision. The lust is going to come at you. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life will come as a thought, usually. And what do you do with it? That's your. Then you show you don't have to obey it. You can instead obey the Lord and yield to him. You don't have to yield to your flesh. And so you're showing who it is that is reigning in your life.
And even if you don't do it right away, when you see it, if you do it,
there's no difference, ultimately.
Right.
I mean, you do have to war a good warfare so that you don't spend 3 weeks hanging out in the wrong place, or, you know, but we find ourselves there. Mm-hmm. It can be a simple mindset. It doesn't even have to be anything really exterior. Yeah. But as soon as it's brought to our attention, if you think about King David, when Nathan came in and gave him that scenario about the man with one lamb dear to him and the other one with many, and he went and took the man's one lamb, you know, and David, the righteous, you know, he brought condemnation down on that guy, and Nathan just looked at him, and he might have pointed his finger, it is you, O king.
Yeah.
And as soon as David heard it, he received that and knew it was the truth, and then we know the Psalm 51 and what he went through to repent, and his prayers to have the Lord and his spirit still with him, and we know the end of that was God granted that. But David certainly, I mean, that's a pretty huge picture of repentance, but that's what it is. But David was like that to hear.
And we need to be that way too.
Yeah. It's humbling. It's a humble place. But in the Lord, what does he say? He gives more grace to the humble. That means they need it. It doesn't mean they need less because they're humble, but it's there for them. But the proud that are going to stand and be sure that they're right or whatever it is, justify themselves, that grace isn't there for that. He resists that. Why? Because he loves a person. He loves their soul.
That's right.
Okay. Megan, were you done?
Yes, ma'am.
So, Karen read through 13, I believe, correct?
Incorrect. I read that. That's okay.
Okay. Thank you, Megan. I got smacked over on my left. Now I've been hurt. I bruised.
I can just see that smacking right now.
Okay, so Miss Karen, will you pick up on 14?
For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
Right there is where we have to learn to stand, period. That's the digestion of the gospel. It's where we can acknowledge when we fall short and move forward nonetheless, putting off the things. But that's it. We either are going to believe it and therefore learn to stand in it, or we're not. It won't have dominion over you, okay? It doesn't have dominion over me. Doesn't mean that I don't agree with it.
Well, having dominion means it rules you.
Right. Doesn't mean I'm not going to find myself there.
Right.
But I have that grace by which I can, again, choose to serve God. And it's a humble place. It isn't with, it didn't really happen. It is where it did happen, Lord. But thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your blood.
Amen.
Doesn't mean everybody in the world has to know it, but if there are those who know it, praise God. Humble yourself. Mm-hmm. Learn a new way. So keep going, Karen.
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not?
Keep going.
Okay. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness?
Okay. But this is what Megan had spoken about.
That's basically what we've been talking about the whole time.
Yeah, notice that. Well, so first of all, we've hit that. What are we going to do? Sin? Because now we're not under the law. We're free. We're free to do what we want. We're free to learn to serve God.
Amen.
That's what that grace is for, not to go out and do whatever our flesh wants. Because then he goes in, don't you know that whichever one you yield to, your flesh or God, that you're that servant. The one is unto death, if you're going to serve your flesh and sin, and the other of obedience unto righteousness. And that's where really that push comes to shove, because I don't care what any of us say. If we don't learn obedience to the Lord, then how can we then say that our end is righteousness, which is His righteousness? But and how else could we gain His righteousness and walk in it? I mean, it's given to us. It's a free gift. I'm not saying that. But how can we learn to walk in it without that obedience? It's mandatory.
You can either be a servant to your flesh, which is sin, or be a servant to God, which is righteous, being righteous.
And, you know, I know...
In His righteousness, not our own.
I know myself, there's some things, certainly for many years and truly decades, I believe the testimony of my flesh. For each of us, how our interaction with our flesh is going to be different. But for me, I had a hard time believing the gospel because I believed my flesh, and my flesh condemned me.
Yeah.
Other people, their flesh says they're great. I mean, we're all different. But either way, it's a battle. I still sometimes am confronted with that testimony, and I can struggle to get through to the other side. I get through, praise God. But it ain't like I never come up against that again.
Yeah.
But I have knowledge now by which I am...
You're walking in it. You're walking in that. And even though your flesh is telling you one thing, you are believing what God's Word says.
I know one time, and it was probably the most distinct picture of this for me, and it was about a year ago, or even maybe a year and a half ago now, Davey preached on Proverbs 23. Now, he did not preach so Robin would feel condemned to hell. I just want you to know that. But I felt like I was condemned without hope. And in half a second, with no basis for anything, I put it off, and it was gone. It was just simply gone. I don't think I could have fought that one off on my own, so to speak, quickly, but I just chose to put that away, and it went as quick as it had come. But it was pretty much 100% how I felt, maybe 110, you know? But, and I can remember that.
Yeah.
And use the knowledge of that as I press on in such things want to come against me again.
Well, you can use the knowledge that you did defeat the flesh. And so the next time something pops up, you know, through Jesus Christ, you can defeat the flesh.
Yeah.
You don't have to give into it. You don't have to agree with it.
Yeah. It doesn't tell me the truth.
That's
so
right.
But that or of obedience unto righteousness. It is a process that requires obedience. And as you had said, I think earlier, Megan, you know, we're going to obey one or the other. And we can say one, but if we're doing the other, our words are cheap and meaningless and aren't true.
That's right.
But if we find that to be true of ourselves, we have an advocate. So it doesn't mean we have to be stuck there. So, Megan, if you'd start on 17.
But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness.
Okay, stop there for a minute. Now, what does it mean to obey from the heart? I mean, to believe. Yes, you have obeyed from the heart. And I know what it really means. Yes, it. You know how I put it? It goes from being able to spew the Word of God to being able to do the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Sure, and also from, like, right. From knowing it in the, how would you call it, the scholarly version, to believing it in your heart, believing it. And it coming from, you know, like you said, if the gospel isn't your own, you're not going to be preaching the gospel, you're going to be preaching works. Until you believe the gospel, you are preaching probably works, because you don't know the gospel. This is, you know, obeying from the heart. It's also a choice.
You might be preaching judgment, condemnation.
Yeah. Sure.
This is where you have to digest it for yourself, and that digestion occurs through that obedience, even though it might be really difficult at the start, and it might be difficult now and then. Mm-hmm. It will be, I guess, is the better way to put it. But when you wrestle it down and choose Christ by that blood, now you're beginning to obey from the heart.
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there that believe the gospel intellectually, and basically that's with the flesh, but they don't believe it with their soul and their hearts.
They don't know that they're sinners, those who believe it intellectually. They think they're right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you know the gospel, you know you're not right, but He is, and He by His love has given us His rightness.
That's right.
Okay. You know what I mean? That's the digestion of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So did you read 18, or did you stop at 17? You read 18.
I read 18.
And then they preached, and you became the servants of righteousness. So see, we can say one to another that we have been made free from sin and became servants of righteousness, and it be true, even though we haven't learned it down. But if we will submit ourselves one to another, if we will receive the exhortation and the admonition of the truth, then you see that servanthood to of righteousness becomes more and more. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But it really doesn't come without that press that we have to have. We need it. We need the press of and the help.
It's the only way we're going to learn.
It is. We ain't going to get there on our end.
No.
But it's, you know, the whole Word of God gives us that line of authority. It gives us the relationship responsibilities. And it also gives our brothers and sisters that we are to hear. Sometimes they don't bring something that makes us feel super wonderful, joy, because they're correcting us. Right?
Right.
But that's how we truly become servants of righteousness, and we have been made free from sin, so our sin has no dominion over us. So, if you would continue and just finish, is that okay? Yeah. Megan, if you don't mind, go on down to the end.
I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of...
Stop for a minute.
Sure.
Just stop here for a minute. So the infirmity of our flesh, I mean, our flesh is weak unto any good thing.
That's right.
It doesn't have to mean that you're sick. And we, every one of us, and we all, I want everybody to hear it, we have all yielded our members, our soul and spirit, to be servants unto uncleanness and pride unto pride. We are justified, we are right, we are righteous, you are wrong, you know, and all this kind of stuff. Every one of us has been guilty of that. Whether expressed with our mouth, it's been in our heart. But now, that was, but now, we yield our members as servants. That's a lowly position, to righteousness and to holiness. What a mighty hope. It takes humility, takes recognition that our ways are not His ways, and therefore we're probably wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so don't get hung up about it. Just learn the right.
Amen.
So, continue, Megan.
For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Okay. So when it in 21 it talks about the fruit and we're ashamed of it. You know, you can't really be ashamed of something that you haven't acknowledged. Until you've recognized and acknowledged it was wrong, you're not necessarily ashamed. Now, you can also have done a lot of things, this one, whereby you are ashamed. There's some shameful things that we do, but all of that we have done in our flesh has been worthy of shame. Everything.
Yes.
And the end of that is death. Why stay with it? Let it go. It was washed by the blood.
Amen.
It doesn't matter. And the beautiful thing is, if you will, and as we do, God is glorified. Why? Because it gives evidence that we're free from it. And now we're servants to Him. And now we can have a different fruit. A fruit that is unto holiness and whose end is everlasting life. And if we will walk this out, it will testify of the sufficiency of the blood of the Lamb, that sacrifice that was made at that cross, and the hope of eternal life.
Amen.
The wages of sin is death. That's why we're all going to die. And we can choose whether we die the second death. That's really what this is coming down to. We're all going to die the first death.
That's right.
But if we'll take this gift from God, which requires our coming into agreement with Him through obedience and submission, and we are then the partakers of the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So, praise God, chapter 7 next week, which is a pretty important chapter, as all of them are. But that one is a go-back-to, oftentimes, chapter. So may the Lord bless you all. And we hope to see you next week.
Thank you for joining us tonight.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.